time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On today's show, Horse Adventures, Rides of a Lifetime, we turn back the clocks to when little Joey B was growing up. You see, we had a family farm in northern New Jersey, and we lived in a suburb. And one of the coolest things, you see, we had six of my families side by side or across the street from each other. So we all grew up together as one large family. And our family extended from that was so large, would always come into this area. And you see, there was a petting zoo town near us. Every spring, the petting zoo would have extra because of those mating things going on. Chickens, ducks, goats. And we would all bring them over to our suburban town. And no joke, they'd be running from backyard to backyard across the streets. And this is just not something that you would typically see, I guess, in your typical town across America. And my cousin, Big Jim Tyrone, he was a rodeo guy. And think about this. People don't really associate from a town a rodeo guy in New Jersey. Well, Big Jim Tyrone was a calf roper. He would bring down, because he would also train horses to ride sulkies, carts. And he would bring some of the horses down in the sulkies. And he would be giving rides around town until the police officers would say to him, excuse me, Jim, you just can't ride a horse in a cart down the center of town. And this is just, but he was just sort of local around, and it was pretty neat. Well, Big Jim also taught me how to rope on his front lawn. And I do remember this. I'd be running around the lawn. I was probably like 4 or 5 years old. I'd be running around the lawn, and Jim would say, this is how you hold the rope, and bang. And I probably, as I got older, realized that he probably wasn't teaching me really as much how to rope as I was his practice calf at that point in time. But hey, that's what went on. We had some quarter horses down there. And, we didn't do much saddle riding through town. Big Jim did, of course. Well, let's fast forward now to Big Jim moves to the countryside with his son, Little Jim, who's Little Jim Toots. And Little Jim and I were best friends, still are to this day. There's a few people, only a few, that will call me at 5 a.m. in the morning because I get up 4:35 o'clock every morning, and Jimmy Toots is one of them. Well, I do remember being up on their farm. It was time to break a few horses, some of the green horses, and when you hear breaking horse, green horse, that means a horse that has never been ridden before. And I remember Jim Toots and I, Little Jim, and I getting on a few horses to break, and I remember one horse in the corral going bonkers. Well, I happen to be on his back at this moment in time. And he goes over near one side of the corral, and it's the only side of the corral that had electric fence on the top rail. So I'm getting bounce, and I'm about to jump off, and I grab onto the electric fence. So I've got electric in one hand and a butt ride of a lifetime on the other side of my body. So I just, once again, you can see that horses have been with me my whole life growing up. So now let's change to Joey B, the grown-up man, and let's trailer up a few horses and ride through the great state of Utah. I've got a few favorite states in Utah, fast becoming one of those, and I am going to head out there with the Maddox family, Steve, Travis, Big Al, and Dad, and we're going to be in the Wasatch Mountain Range in the Rocky Mountains. And let me tell you this, with the Maddox family, family is so important. Dad and the boys, they saddle up every Saturday. They find they live right in the Rockies, but they find a great place and off they go on the ride. And family being important, here is that bond. So for those of you out there with your families, if you're looking for something to do, maybe horses, but it could be anything, it's like find a time, and it's the time that's the important thing. Block out some time that you could spend with your family. Well, let me tell you, as we're riding up the Rockies and we're going and seeing some of the most beautiful places on earth, and we're riding up there, And you could see, you know, when families, the terminology I would use is jaw a little bit. You know, you're joking with your siblings or, you know, dad's, you know, and the terminology we would use was breaking your chops. He's busting on you a little bit. And it's all in good fun. Remember, it's okay to have fun with your friends, not make fun of your friends. And that's really what this was. And they were just, I mean, just enjoying it. Now, let's go to the horse side of what we were doing. These horses, because you see, Dad didn't know that I was truly a horseman. So he was giving me a horse that was already broken for the trail that we're heading on. And we got to a point as we're climbing, and some of the rocks were like, there were like 3-foot boulder on top of boulder, obviously naturally there from, you know, nature over millions of years. And Dad just said to me, he goes, "Don't worry about it. Let the horse do his job." And I sort of knew this anyway, but hey, if I'm learning from someone, I'm going to be listening. And the horse just began to climb. And I am telling you, there were stretches when I said, he can't reach up to that. And bang, and the horse would just go up and up and up. And there's just one stretch of maybe about a quarter of a mile, half a mile. Yeah, a quarter mile. And the horse just continued to climb at his pace. So you didn't have to pressure him. You didn't have to move him. He knew exactly what his job was. He knew exactly how to be safe. And when he's safe, obviously the rider, me, was safe as well. And we went up. Now we get to the top. And we're probably, I'm going to say right now, a little over 10,000 feet. And there is this glaciated lake up there. And you could just see trout rising and rising, a few jumping out. And I sort of had a tear in my eyes because I wanted to leave the horse, grab a fishing rod, and get in there and fish. But hey, it was my day with the Maddox family, and it was not a fishing day, but we've already discussed doing two things. One day going back to ride through Bryce and Zion. I've hiked extensively through Bryce and Zion National Park, two of the most beautiful national parks in our country, but I've never ridden horseback through there. I've ridden next to it, and that's a story I've given up, and I've already shared to you with Shakespeare, and that's in the part one of my horse adventures. Well, I will be able to do that with him. And we also spoke about going back to the Wasatch Mountain Range and fishing it as we go up. So getting on horseback and finding those mountain streams that really no one fishes, pulling out the fly rod, because again, my TFO fly rod, 4-piece, fits in a little tube right on my saddlebag hanging out the saddlebag. And we can go off and do some fishing up there too. So to me, it's like one of the, I guess, next adventures with the Maddox family. Now, as we were coming down, they kept talking to me about, okay, are you going to ride down the wash? You're going to ride down the wash? And I'm saying, well, in my mind, like, what's the wash? So the Maddox family are coming down. We get to an area. No, you think about the Rocky Mountains. Everything is solid. And you get to an area where it was soft, sedimentary, and it was just sediments that were there. I mean, it was worn over thousands of years. And it would be like if you've ever slid down a hill, like just a bunch of soil. It was that for about, I don't know, about 100 feet down. And once again, Mr. Maddox said to me, he goes, "Let the horse do his job." I said, "Okay." And you get on there and I watch everyone else go down. And the horse would just basically slide down on his two hind legs and slide and catch with the two front and slide and catch. And if you looked at it, you go, "This is crazy." Except it wasn't crazy because the horse knew exactly what to do. Again, you think about the safety side of things. If you have a good horse, you always hear about the term horse sense. Well, guess what? Horses have a lot of good horse sense. So with that family bond with the Maddox family, I look back to being like, I guess, one of the family members again on the next ride because they always end their rides at lunch. And me, horses, food, family, they go together. Now, as an environmental scientist, I've done a lot of research, and some of my research has been on the sagebrush steppe out in Idaho. I was going to say Idaho, but it's Idaho. I know that. Now, you also know that this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So now back to Idaho. Now, we would ride to work many days. Now let's think about what is rush hour to you and your rush hour traffic. And some of you that may live in a city or near a city and you go, "Man, I can't stand." Well, our rush hour traffic was nothing. It was just a bunch of horses. Well, if you're in Idaho and your rush hour traffic probably be 20 pickup trucks in 1 hour. So really, in essence, there is no traffic there at all. Once again, one of my favorite states, spent a lot of time out there, a lot of research out there. Well, we would have to get to different places in the Rocky Mountains. So to get there, well, we would hitch up the horses, and as a team of scientists, we would ride through the Rockies. And you know what's really neat? Some of the scientists were not horsemen or horsewomen. And if you have a great trail horse, trail horses know two things: how to go up the trail and definitely how to come back down the trail to the barn. And if you're with the folks that aren't great riders, in a few minutes, you really just say, hey, look, this horse will take care of it. He'll follow that horse in front of you. He'll do it. And all of a sudden, not that they are great horsemen at that moment, but they are riding a horse well, because the horse, once again, as my story is previous, taking care of it. Well, think about this. I don't know if there's anyone who actually, in the winter weather by me, it's like 400 below zero. I don't know if any of that goes out and warms your car for you. Well, where I was working research-wise for the government, there were the caballeros. And the caballeros, they would actually hitch up the horses for us. So we didn't even have to saddle our own horses. They were there. They were ready to go. And you see, the caballeros, in America, we call them cowboys. But they would hire some of the caballeros, some of the South American cowboys, and they would come up. And it was their job, because I was working at this point in time, I was doing some research at the U.S. Sheep Station. And there are 5,000 sheep there. Well, out in the middle of, again, this is in the Rocky Mountains, in the summer ranges, the caballeros would actually live out there. In one place, there was a little camper, but in other places, they would actually just camp, sitting by the fire. I mean, their life is a very good one, because they are, it's like you think about like what it's like to really be a cowboy, and these caballeros, another word for it, these guys are really cowboys. And their job's to protect the sheep, make sure everything's going on. And I'm going to let you know that there were the sheepdogs that were out there. Now, catch how nutty this is. The sheepdogs, when you're, there was almost a village of where we lived, and there were, 4 or 5 sheepdogs. And you can go and you can play with them, pet them. Once they are near the sheep, they are sheepdogs. They are protectors. You go near them because it is their job to actually pin, let's say it was a wolf, a coyote, to pin them to the ground and hold them there. That's what they do. You would not go near those sheep, because the one you were playing with hours before would be doing a little pinning of you. So again, and we recognize that, but that was their job. But going back to my story here, well, I'm telling you right now that going back to my stories and saying, all right, I'm getting to ride a horse to work. And it wasn't every day out there. But the times that we had to climb up higher in the Rockies, because again, it was a lot of research with plants and non-native plant species, so you had to get to specific places. The horses were the mode of transportation. So I guess I've ridden through rush hour traffic because there was a horse or two in front of me on the trail. Now, I've got a few places on Earth. One of my favorites, and I mentioned this with the Maddox family, is Zion National Park. And some of my greatest rides in the country are through the Red Rock. And some of you are saying, well, I've seen some of the Red Rock. If any of you have been to Sedona, you understand what I'm speaking about. And so many of the Western movies have been filmed out here, because it is, you always hear, it's God's country. Well, guess what? It truly is. Well, I hike extensively through Bryce and Zion, just some of my photos. And you could always see my photos on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter and all those different places. And if you ever want to tweet me, most people send me questions or comments, and even they give me topics for shows, and you're free to do that. It's at Joey B Outdoors, I can't even spell my own name, Joeybee Outdoors, and that's plural, outdoors. Well, I am in Zion hanging out a little bit, and I meet up with this cowboy, and we're chatting a little bit, and I say, hey, my name's Joey B, online TV show, international podcast show, blah, 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 and we're just chatting. And I say, what's your name? He says, Shakespeare. What do you mean Shakespeare? He said, yeah, that's my name. So I just figured, good old cowboy. And he's just sort of, as I would say, he's shooting the bull. He's just talking. And said, okay. So we start chatting for a little bit, and we're talking. And he says, you want to hitch up a horse want to ride through some of the Red Rock outside, right outside of Zion there? I go, yeah, that'd be great. So we get two horses, and we're riding through, and I'm listening to some of his stories. And for those of you that have never listened to cowboy stories, because if you sit by the campfire, you know, I do some Native American tales. My great friend Jim Bruschak, number one Native American storyteller in the country, you listen to him. Well, cowboy stories, and they have some great stories. So Shakespeare sharing a little bit of this and that, and I'm listening to his stories. And one of the stories that he is telling me is about, you've heard of the story about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the actual Outlaws. Well, he's telling me that when Butch was a little, you know, younger guy, early teens, etc., he used to steal cattle in Mexico, drive them back, come back, sell them, and he used to hide in a cave right there somewhere in, you know, right outside of Zion in that Red Rock. And I, you know, I'm listening to his story, and sort of in my mind, I'm going, yeah, right, right. Like, you know, like when somebody's telling you a story, and you're listening, but you're going, eh, he's probably full of bull. Why is it? Well, you know when you're driving along the highways, and on the highways you see those little signs that are the historic little plaques? And you, hey, we have driven past many of them, never stop. Well, we are in the middle of nowhere, USA, on a horseback, and there's a little historic sign. And Shakespeare says to me, get off, go take a look at the sign, because he realized that I thought that he was full of bull. And I get off, and next to the sign, I'm saying it was probably maybe 3 feet high off the ground, this tiny little cave going back. And next to it, it spoke about that this was one of the places when Butch would steal cattle and sell them and the posses were chasing him. This was one of Butch's hideouts. So on that great horseback ride through Zion, through the Red Rock, with Shakespeare the cowboy, he wasn't so full of bull. And I love American history. I got to see a piece of American history in the middle of nowhere. Now, let me tell you about the greatest rider for the greatest cause. Now, if you go on to Joey B TV, that's JOEYBE.TV, you can actually see this adventure, and it's called Santa on Horseback. Well, I came across a gentleman who owned a horse farm, and every year he would actually take, this is around Christmas time, he would take homeless children from the shelter, he'd bring them to the stables. And I am telling you, these are children that are, most of them were like 4 years old. And, you know, that in itself just warms your heart when you're seeing these beautiful little children coming in. And, you know, I'm standing in front of a camera, my cameraman's checking this out, and we're looking at it. And these are kids who've never seen a horse before. I've never, if you've ever smelled that stable before, like, they're going, oh. And he hired some elves. And the elves happened to be some of the youth, but they dressed up as elves. And what made these elves so beautiful was their energy, their smile, and most important, their warm hearts. So we were getting a walkthrough, and the kids were getting a walkthrough. And then he would give them a dinner. And it was a sit-down dinner. And you know what's funny? He said the first year he actually served them, you know, a sit-down dinner with, like, chicken and beans and, you know, whatever, string beans and carrots and all this. And he says they barely picked at the food. And he started to question, like, the people at the shelter why. And he says these children had never seen, so to speak, a real meal before. And that was sad. And then he had to switch over to pizza and fries and things like that because, again, he wanted to give them, like, the, I guess, the dream of a lifetime, because you wait till you hear the rest of this story. So then he brings, or the, I should say the elves, bring all the children out to the horse rink. It's an indoor rink. And all of a sudden, you start to hear these bells. And in rides Santa on horseback. And I am telling you, as the rider would say, or I should say Santa would say, is he would whoop it up. And he was a great rider. And Santa would be doing laps around it. And he would be doing zigzag patterns. And he'd pull up. Bang, right in front of the kids, and he'd be like, whoa, and the horse would just stop on a dime, and he'd take off, and the kids, I am telling you, were so excited. And again, I am out there, literally in the middle of the rink, with a cameraman, and we're filming all this, and I'm, you know, speaking on, by mean, well, while all of this was going on, he had other people in the room where dinner was now cleared, and they were setting up for every one of those homeless children There was a stocking larger than them, plus some extra gear and the things that were there, gifts. And he would raise every year $15,000, and he would give $15,000 worth of gifts. And I'm sure you can imagine, Santa on horseback. These were the only gifts that these children were going to receive. And I'm telling you, when you want to talk about a heartwarming story, and this was the deal. And I remember a comment that will stick with me for the rest of my life. So I'm there, and you know, and each elf, there was one elf attached to every homeless child that was there. So when Santa was done with his riding, the children came in, they saw all these, and each elf brought each child over to a specific one because it was male, female type of thing. And I remember a four-year-old child opening her gifts, and she received a winter coat and gloves, and she said, "I'm finally going to have a warm body and hands." And I'm telling you right there, my heart melted. And again, I think we all do something. Our job in life is to make this a better world. Santa here is definitely making it a better world. I kind of hope that some of the things that I'm doing, but this story is not about me. It's about him. And hopefully you're listening to this and your heart is melting from that story, and you also will do this. Well, you know, over my lifetime, I've ridden quarter horses up and down the Rockies, driven sulkies with standardbreds, filmed for PBS All About Clydesdales, driving both the team of Clydesdales and Saddleback, which was a real unique experience. And I'll be planning my next horseback adventure. So until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. That was awesome.